It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Alyssa Block. It is primary day in New Hampshire, and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney sounds hopeful.
I hope that you're going to be able to give me a bigger margin of victory than 8 votes that I got in Iowa. Think we can do that? Yeah.
That's Romney speaking to a packed middle school gym last night. All of the state's polls will be closed by the end of this hour, and Romney has long been the clear frontrunner. We're going to spend the next few minutes on the heated battle between the other Republican candidates for second and third place. We'll hear from four of our reporters, all at various campaign headquarters in Manchester, New Hampshire. First up is NPR's Don Gagne, who's covering the campaign of former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum. And Don, has Rick Santorum been able to build on the boost that he got out of Iowa, where he came 8 votes shy of beating Mitt Romney?
Well, he got a lot more action here. He had bigger crowds. He had a lot of press following him around everywhere. He got a lot of coverage. There was a good bit of buzz, but it does not seem to have translated into any big, big boost in the polls. He's still in a battle for fourth place here, could be in fifth place. I mean, we'll see how it all works out tonight. But again, it's a very different population here than Iowa. A lot of Christian conservatives there. That was his base. He talked a lot about social issues in Iowa. He talked about it here as well. He kept getting drawn into it by hecklers and questioners at town halls, even though here he would have rather talked about economic populism. But that was the story for him the past week.
And Don, presumably Rick Santorum now heading into far more favorable territory in South Carolina, which votes next after New Hampshire.
Exactly. They've had an eye on South Carolina the whole time. They did feel they had to come here. They felt that it was important to go to all of the states. Campaigning here is a way to get respect in South Carolina. It just shows that you're a candidate who feels you need to run everywhere and need to see what you can do, talk to people all over the country. But again, South Carolina will have many more of those evangelical voters. Now, there are still a number of candidates who are looking for that same vote. So we'll see how it's divided up. But he does expect a warmer welcome there.
Okay, Don, thank you. That's NPR's Don Gagne at Rick Santorum's New Hampshire campaign quarters. We turn now to NPR's Robert Smith, who's stationed with the Ron Paul campaign. And Robert, Ron Paul's message hasn't changed since 2008, the last time he ran for the Republican presidential nomination. In New Hampshire last time, he placed 5th. Why does he expect to do better this time?
Well, yeah, he got 8% of the vote last time, and it was hugely disappointing for him and his supporters because New Hampshire is supposed to be this hotbed of libertarianism, live free or die, that whole thing. But Ron Paul thinks he can do better this time simply because the world is so much different than it was 4 years ago. I mean, I saw him 4 years ago, and I've seen him on this campaign trail, and he's talking about exactly the same things: smaller government, debt, banks, modern money, getting rid of the Federal Reserve. But, 4 years ago, that stuff didn't seem to matter as much. People didn't know what the Federal Reserve was. And now, I find, talking to his supporters, they're far more literate about what's going on in the economy. And Ron Paul, when you talk to him about this, thinks that that means his message resonates more. But there are also a couple of structural things that are really going to help Ron Paul tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean, one is that he does very well with independent voters. And, 4 years ago, independents could choose the Republican or the Democratic primary. But this year, exit polls are showing that there is a huge surge of independent voters in the Republican primary. And that's good for Paul. And the exit polls are also showing that the voters are describing themselves as economic conservatives, but not necessarily social conservatives. And once again, that's very good for Ron Paul.
And briefly, Robert, if Ron Paul does manage to pull off a second place finish tonight, what does that mean going forward?
Well, I don't want to be flip, but it doesn't really matter very much. Ron Paul is going to go on no matter what. He's said that. He's going to South Carolina. He's going to try and amass as many delegates as he can and go to the convention. For Ron Paul, it's about the movement, building the movement. He talks about that, not necessarily becoming the next president of the United States.
Okay, NPR's Robert Smith from the Ron Paul campaign headquarters, and now to NPR's Tovia Smith, who's covering John Huntsman's campaign. And Tovia, John Huntsman has been talking about a surge of momentum that he's been feeling there in New Hampshire. Are you picking up on that energy where you are?
We are. We're in a pretty small bar, and it's already pretty full here. They're expecting a big crowd, as they've been seeing suddenly at all their campaign events the past few days. The campaign tweeted us a little bit earlier, kind of gloating, telling reporters, you know, expect to be packed in tight here tonight because, like, you know, sorry, they booked the place a whole 4 days ago when they were at the bottom of the pack. And now, what a difference. I spoke to a guy holding a sign at a polling station today who said he's been with Huntsman since August, back in the dark days, as he said, and no one even knew who Huntsman was. Now they know, they come to events, and, you know, these guys can only hope they vote, too. But clearly Huntsman has struck a chord. Voters have been telling me they started paying attention to him when he stood up to Romney at the debates over the weekend, defending his service as ambassador for President Obama. And not just because he showed a little feistiness, but also because of the message of unity, you know, country before politics. Both in principle and for practical reasons, because, as Huntsman says, the GOP can't win back the White House without independence. And, you know, that's resonating. As a matter of fact, we just watched the campaign literally unwrap a brand-new giant sign for the stage here with their new Country First tagline. They literally just took it out of the wrapper. The line is working, and they're going with it.
Okay, so great expectations within the Huntsman campaign. Big money questions that would face John Huntsman moving forward, though.
True, but, you know, they've got like a kind of anything's possible attitude here right now. He's just first getting focus and consideration from folks. And as Huntsman says, if you do well, people will invest in you. Just like the campaign says, money has been pouring in, relatively pouring in anyway, since the Sunday debate. And they're banking on momentum kind of taking care of the money issue going forward.
Okay, that's NPR's Tovia Smith covering John Huntsman's campaign. And finally, we turn to NPR's Andrea Seabrook, who's following Newt Gingrich in New Hampshire. And Andrea, going into the primary today, Newt Gingrich was spending a lot of time attacking the frontrunner, Mitt Romney.
He sure was. Stinging, sharp attacks on Romney, especially the time that Romney led Bain Capital, the investment firm that bought a lot of companies, and some of them went bankrupt, some of them did very well. And, of course, he and the other executives at Bain Capital did very well in this scheme. Well, it's normal business, but there is a attack ad. It's really kind of an attack movie that should be premiering tomorrow, as there are some journalists who have copies of it already, that is all about Romney's time at Bain. And Gingrich, his campaign got a special boost of money in the last day or so to allow them to buy this movie and run it, finance it. And it really is seems to be trying to throw Romney off his game as the whole campaign, the whole entire primary moves south into more friendly Gingrich territory.
And one question would be, does it not only throw Mitt Romney off his game, but what about his voters? Are they having second thoughts? Have you gotten any sense of that there in New Hampshire?
You know, it's interesting. People who are very strongly for Romney seem to sort of see it as this sort of last gasp of the Newt Gingrich campaign. But people who are questioning whether Romney should be the front runner really find these attacks to be a problem, find his time at Bain Capital to be a problem. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're running to Newt Gingrich as their candidate, but it does seem to be putting some people off.
Okay, NPR's Andrea Seabrook, thanks so much, along with Tovia Smith, Robert Smith, and Don Gagne, all in Manchester, New Hampshire. I'm joined now here in the studio by NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson. Hi, Mara.
Hi.
And we just heard there from Andrea Seabrook covering Newt Gingrich's campaign. He's polling not just behind Mitt Romney in New Hampshire, also so far behind Ron Paul and John Huntsman as we await these election returns. If he were to come in fourth in New Hampshire, what does that mean?
Well, Newt Gingrich has to be evaluated a little bit differently than the other candidates. I think if he comes in fourth in New Hampshire, he has very little chance of getting the nomination. That's what it means. But Newt Gingrich plays a unique role. He's kind of a free radical in this race. We said at the very, very beginning, Newt Gingrich would be a really interesting addition to the field. He probably didn't have a chance to be the nominee, but he was an intellectual force. And lo and behold, he's become a force. And he's become an anti-Romney force. And he's making, as Andrea described, this very clear and articulate argument, unusual for a Republican, critiquing Romney as a capitalist, as the kind of capitalist he was, the fact that he looted these companies. He didn't just invest and he lost money sometimes and made money others. He actually made money even when the companies went bankrupt. And somehow Newt Gingrich is tapping into that feeling that somehow the game is rigged. A lot of people began to think that after the financial crisis, and that a lot of big Wall Street investors don't play a fair game. So that's what he's pushing, and I think he'll push it in South Carolina.
It's interesting, as you say, that this is coming from a Republican. It's also certainly an argument that will be coming from the Democrats.
Well, that is for sure. But it's really unusual that it's starting here. Because don't forget, up until now, what have been the arguments about Romney? Oh, he's not a consistent conservative. He's inauthentic. He was a flip-flopper. He was for the precursor to Obamacare. And none of those things seem to matter. All of a sudden, I think Gingrich has found something that might matter less in a Republican primary, because I think, ironically, Romney is poised to do what no other Republican has ever done, which is win Iowa, New Hampshire, and probably South Carolina and Florida. A clean sweep. That should make him look like the winningest winner ever. But all sorts of vulnerabilities are being exposed along the way.
Let's talk about expectations tonight for Mitt Romney in New Hampshire. As we've said, he is the front runner, former governor of a neighboring state, has a home in New Hampshire, has spent a lot of time there, not just in this campaign, but 4 years ago. If you're looking at where you would, if you were the campaign, want him to be showing tonight, not just first, but with what margin, what would you say?
Well, okay, he got 32% last time. He has to do better than that. John McCain got 37% last time. He certainly should get around there. And he's been polling in the high 30s or low to mid 40s. That's what I think he should get. I think anything less than 32%, which was his high watermark last time, will be seen as a disappointing finish. But he's going to win either way, and that's really all that matters.
A win is a win.
A win is a win, as he would say.
Looking forward to South Carolina, Mara. What do you think is shaping up on January 21st?
Well, right now, Romney's ahead in the polls. Rick Santorum is second. Newt Gingrich close behind him. Ron Paul is fourth. South Carolina has a lot of evangelicals, very conservative state. On first glance, it looks like a great state for someone like Rick Santorum. But South Carolina, I think, might have the look of a evangelical Tea Party bastion, but really it has a establishment mainstream Republican heart. And it usually does go for the establishment candidate, and I think it's probably likely to do that again.
Okay, Mara, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson. And this evening, NPR will be reporting results from the New Hampshire primary and bringing you analysis on the air and at npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered.